Welcome, everybody, to the latest and the greatest edition of the Take the Shot podcast. Your boy Zay is here. Your boy Teddy is here. And we're here to talk about this past week of sports action and news topics, just to give y'all the entertainment that y'all love. But before we get started on our roll, I've got to ask the question. Teddy, man, how you doing?
I am good, man. I'm good. I, took today off because it's President's Day. Wife was off. So spent a little bit of time with her and then worked on Saturday. So it was peace and quiet. Kiddos were gone. Wife was gone on a girls trip. So I was just chilling by myself, alone with my own thoughts, which is, good and bad, I guess, at the same time. But
little meditation.
A little meditation, had, went out, sat at a bar, had me some iced tea, had me some Mexican food one night. Watched a ton of sports. I watched pretty much anything you could think of. I got the nice Daytona 500 in the background on right now, ready to roll. It rained out yesterday, the race in the day. Right. Wife was like, "You're insane. I'm not watching a second of that." I was like, "Hey, sports." Watched my Blues earlier. They're finally on TV for once in hockey. Probably first or second hockey game we'll watch this season. So we're getting away from the football, and then we get all these things. We get the deep dive into, NBA, college basketball, Premier League race is tight. UFC was insane this weekend.
Yes.
Although all the favorites won except for a shocker. It wasn't really a shocker. I guess he was plus 105, but we'll get to that. Other than that, man, it's been great. Can't complain. What about you?
It's been back and forth week, I will fully admit, but that's all right, man. I get to sit here and talk sports. And, I'm still alive. I'm still kicking. And we're still moving day to day. I did get a chance to watch some sports this past weekend as well. Look forward to really talking about that and some of the topics you've got coming up. I got to get some good Netflix in, and hanging out. And later this week, I'm going on a little mini vacation. So it's not all bad. It's up and down week, but it ain't all bad. So we can start.
Yeah, as you said, I need a vacation.
Need a vacation. That's the best way to say it, man. Can't wait. Can't wait. Feels great. To start with, I want to lead off with the NBA All-Star Weekend. Just to say that it was the highest scoring All-Star Weekend in NBA history. What team broke 200 points?
Smash the overs.
that was insane. The fact that 200, I think it was 212 or something points were scored in a professional basketball game with professional All-Star players. I turned it on and off, to be honest. I watched the beginning of it when I think it was, who was hot to start with? I think it was Halliburton or something. And then Dame came out and busted a shot from half court and drained it. I'm like, what in the world is going on? So I watched that, watched the dunk contest. My favorite part was the three-point shootout of the whole thing. Sabrina versus Steph. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit. But did you get to see any of it? And what was your favorite part of the weekend?
I watched every single minute of every single thing to do with All-Star. I watched the skills challenge. I watched the celebrity All-Star game. I watched the three-point contest. I watched Sabrina and Steph. I watched it all. I watched pretty much all the All-Star game itself. My thoughts on the All-Star game itself is they got to figure out something. It's just not fun to watch anymore. Like, I had more fun watching that flag football Pro Bowl game, which is actually entertaining, and they were actually playing somewhat defense, and they were, it was competitive, and it wasn't 80-80 like some of the old AFC, NFC when they were in pads. So it was fun, and the gimmicks of like the – the obstacle courses and stuff, like, they made it fun. I guess going piece by piece, the celebrity All-Star game was cool. Micah, I don't know if you watched any of it, but Micah and Puka,
he just destroyed people. Micah was trying to, I just saw him dunking on people and just like trying to win trying to win MVP all on his own. It was crazy.
And then that TikTok dude, though, I can't remember his name, Tess, I think, or Tress or something like that. That white dude with a blonde hair. He had me cracking up because he was playing for real and he had some skill. And then The funniest part of that was is when Kelsey Plum was like, "Hey, pass the ball," and he was like, "I got 6-6. What do you mean pass the ball?" I was like, "He was like, what do you want? What else you want me to do?" CJ Stroud, he needed a quick shooting, but it was fun. I was also on pins and needles. So I was like, "God, don't get hurt,"
Oh yeah,
playing
that's
in
the
this game.
roll the ankle.
Well, because he just yet the day before he was at Travis Scott's Cactus Jack Celebrity Softball game at Minute Maid, and then flew out to Indy to do this. I was like, all right, come on, man, be a little too much. But I mean, with Disney is right. I mean, obviously, you could get hurt.
He's younger than
Excellent.
us, Teddy. He can do these things.
Yeah,
He's
it's
like
true.
22, man. We if we did something
Trust
like
me.
that, we got tendons that ain't gonna
After,
work.
dude, who are you saying? After moving a full size bed and putting on a mattress, I almost threw my back out. I was like, and I'm down, some pounds. I was like, I'm going to die one of these days trying to, bend down a vacuum or something.
Yep.
It's so yeah, he's definitely a lot younger than us now. But that was cool. The skills challenge itself, I mean, it was okay. Scotty Barnes, I don't know if you saw that. They're doing that half court shot and they couldn't make it. He started throwing, behind the back half court shots and
Yeah.
stuff.
Well, you see Anthony Edwards shooting with his left hand in like the whatchamacallit? I guess the first part of the skills challenge where they had to
Yeah, I
dribble.
was just like,
I was like, y'all are throwing, man. I was like, if I was a
yeah.
teammate, I would have been mad. But it's hard to be mad at an All-Star game weekend. But he said in the
Yeah.
interview beforehand, Anthony Edwards was like, I'm gonna shoot with my left hand. I don't, whatever. And he shot and missed all three, and they didn't win that part of the event. So I was like, all right, well, no
Yeah.
one
But
it's tough.
like that one's more for fun. I think doing it into the in the game, like on paper, the West should have won by 90. I mean, you
Yes.
had KD, you had and I'm saving the best
LeBron.
parts for last. Kate, you had, KD, LeBron, you had, all these, you
Joker.
had Joker, Doncic. Those two dudes, though,
Oh yeah, the bromance is real.
the bromance is real. I just saw something. Jalen Brunson came up to Luka, and it was so funny, like the shade almost that Jokic was
Yeah,
throwing
I
towards
saw that.
Brunson. I was cracking up, but they literally didn't care. KD didn't care. Really, what was it? It was Cat. Who else? There was like three
Cat.
people on the West team that actually cared. That was it. It was like Cat, Shea, and someone else. I couldn't remember it, but those three are the only people who cared on the West. The East cared. I mean, Halliburton cared because it was in Indiana.
Trying to win MVP for sure.
Dame just, I mean, he was unconscious. Giannis was having fun. Trey was dishing like crazy, which was cool to see. Just the no defense. It's just they need to figure something out in the aspect of that.
But see, my question
Go
kind
ahead.
of is though, how do you, because it has to be something competitive, right? Like, I love that you brought up the Pro Bowl example, is because in every challenge, especially in the skills challenges too, for like the Pro Bowl, like those dudes cared. Like the NFC
Yeah.
wanted to be. I specifically remember this scene in the NFL Pro Bowl. We know they had to push the sled at the end, and Jason
Oh yeah.
Kelce's like mushing it, like, let's go, we
Yeah.
gotta win. There's so much more like fire, I feel like, and in that Pro Bowl game, the flag football game, like people want to snag on people. CJ Stroud threw a dime pass to, I think it
Yeah.
was Ja'Marr Chase, because he was like, yo, I'm that dude. And then you look at the NBA All-Star game, I get this sense that they all feel like I'm already that dude. Like, I ain't got to prove that I need to cross LeBron, or like, I don't got to prove it's just whatever. I'm just going to. So, how do you do a competition when the players don't want to compete? That's like, I don't know if you
That's
can fix it.
the problem that lies. You hit the nail on the head, man. 'Cause remember when we were in the early like 2000s and even like the mid 2000s, like, every time like CP and Kobe played together, man, they
Oh
wanted to
yeah.
win. They didn't
Oh
want to
yeah.
lose, back in the 90s, you had Jordan and Payton and Stockton, and they played hard. They played hard. They played a game. Like, Rodman and, you Barkley and Olajuwon and Robinson, they were rebounding, blocking people's shots. So like they weren't just letting, it wasn't a turnstile, but I think it's also a microcosm of the problem as a whole in the NBA. While Like everything's up. Everybody's ratings are up. Basketball, college basketball's up. You know, soccer in America's up. UFC, you name it. NFL, the Super Bowl obviously probably helped with the Swifts. Highest rated show ever in America. You know, 124,000 million, excuse me. Basketball's down. Part of the reason why it's down and kind of going on a tangent is like it's just you can't you there's no hand check, there's no it's hard to play defense, you know, people get in foul trouble, you get flopping. I heard a thing, the thing that would help that makes the Olympic and overseas more competitive when you see it in the like Summer Olympic, you gotta get rid of defensive 3 seconds. Fucking imagine Shea or imagine LeBron or whoever trying to go in there and you know Gobert just sitting there posted up. Like, hey,
Another
all right, come
room.
get some. Like I don't have to sit here and you know shade off or slide in and try to get like there's somebody in the paint chilling, you know.
So do you think so there's a fine line of balance, I guess, right? Because every league, like all the sports leagues we mentioned, every league, Premier League, college basketball, whatever you want to call it, they want scoring to go up, right? They want scoring to be fast paced, you know, less fouls, let's just run this. But the NBA almost has a problem where they've moved that needle a little too far. I mean, the NFL too as well. NFL is like illegal contact, you know, you can't be doing that. You can't be holding people, defensive holding. So every other sport has like moved the scoring up in favor of that, and it's worked well. And but their defense still has a chance, I guess. And the NBA is like, we've gotten basically rid of all defense for the most part, and it's like backfired on them, which is crazy to think about because of all sports where you'd want to see some of the best offensive players do their thing with crossover, spin moves, fadeaway threes, whatever you want to call it. You think it'd be basketball, but then you get this product and you're like, ugh, ain't nothing fun about everybody just standing around and you just letting them shoot. Like that's not fun to watch to me. That's why I could barely make it through the whole thing. You said you made it through, but I couldn't.
I mean, I was half paying attention. Me and wife were on, you know, our phones doing, you know, shopping online, whatever. But I mean, we were watching because I mean, I like basketball. Basketball is my second favorite sport. March Madness, when it comes on, that is my favorite time of year. I don't like you can say that month in between where you get the college football playoff and the bowl season. And now I may, you know, obviously with the 12 team coming up, that could change. And you got the Super Bowl a month later. But like that moment where you don't do jack shit from Thursday afternoon to Sunday afternoon, that first weekend of March Madness, it's just a beautiful sight. So I love basketball, but like I get having scoring because, like, yeah, I mean, mid-90s, you don't want to be 78 to 84. That was like some finals games, you know, with the Jazz and the, you know, Bulls, where you go 5, 6 minutes without anyone scoring. But like when you get final scores of fucking 144 to 142, like, I mean, and in regulation, I'm not even talking about going into overtime or double overtime. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, I don't mind these 110, you know, 10, you know, 107 games or,
I think
you
that's
know, stuff like that.
a good score. That's a good game, I think. I'd agree.
But when you turn on, you have people, when you have four people scoring 70 points in one season, when it took Kobe 81 and then no one touched 70 for like 10 years, like that's when you know you got a problem. The problem with Adam Silver, in my opinion, is he's too much of a player. And I'm all about player empowerment, making your money, especially with the NILs and stuff. I mean, that needs to be roped in a little bit. But like, to a point where like these dudes that are making so much millions of dollars don't care. Like, what about all those people who spent all that money? Like, I guess they get to interact with y'all, and that's maybe enough. But like, when you get to see the collection of the greatest basketball talent in the world, not just in the NBA, the basically the world, because you got the Jokic, you got the Lukas, you got the, you know, Shays from Canada, you know, stuff like that. Like, you got all these people in one court, and this is a product we get. It's just kind of Seth does the other one. Curry, he was the other one that was going hard. I couldn't think of it. Like, you got all these people here, and it just feels like they don't care. And that you can't give them more money because, like,
No,
I don't
that's
think they
definitely
really
not the
care about
answer.
that.
No.
So I don't know if you like,
It's gonna
I don't
take
know if you
one.
change it to like a 3-on-3 or, you know, kind of run
Ooh.
teams and have like a big tournament. Like, I think that's
That's a
where you would
good
get the most
idea.
competitive thing. It's like, all right, y'all gonna play to 21, y'all gonna play to 11 or whatever, and then the championships to 21. It kind of like how they did with the Rising Stars, you know, how
Yeah.
they went to 40 the first game, and then the championship game was to 21, which I think it should have been to 30 at least. But
That's a
those
good
type of
idea.
formats, like once it got down towards the end, you saw those teams buckle down on defense, and they buckled down on defense when they, you know, after Kobe died and they went into the whole race to 24 or the, you know, whoever wins get home court. They got to go back to an incentive. I think that what they have to do is make it east west like they did, but they need to either do quarters where it adds up, and then like whoever wins how many quarters, and then the bring back the race to 24 or whatever it is, like add 24 to whoever's leading, and then you're gonna get a buckle down in the fourth quarter. And I think that's, and then make it whoever east west team wins, you win home court in the NBA finals. Like
Yeah,
it, you know what I'm
I
saying?
agree. I would say I agree definitely with having that level of competitiveness because I mean, yeah, I think doing it for the NBA Finals and giving them home court, I'm 50-50 on it because then the rest of the season, like that number one seed, I guess they still have a home series and stuff. I guess that's fair. I really like the 3-on-3 idea though, because I think a lot of these players, like if you put them in a 3-on-3 environment for like two players that like Jason Tatum has to go against KD or whatever, and it's kind of a more one-on-one style situation, I think that would kick in their pride a little bit. Because it's basketball, right? Now it's like, oh, it's me versus you kind of in a one-on-one or 3-on-3 kind of environment. And you'd actually get to see like Tatum maybe like, oh, I'm a D up KD. Like he ain't gonna burn me like one on one. So maybe that's a way to do it too. Like a tournament style of two teams of three of
Yeah.
the West and two teams of three of the East or three
Are
teams, whatever. And the best, yeah.
how many players are there total? Like 30? I guess there's 15 on each team.
Yeah.
So let's just use that because it's an easy number, right? So there's 30 people in the whole pool, right? So instead of doing east west, how about we take, well, I guess you would have to do east, you would have to do 16 each, I guess, right? And then like, because you have to make it, unless you don't do the home court incentive. Let's just for easy to take 30 players, right? The top 10 vote getters, whether it's seven of them in the West and three of them are in the East, right? The top 10 get to be team captains, quote unquote. Then the rest of the pool, the last 20 or whatever it would be to make it even,
Pick
you
'em, draft 'em
basically you
up.
pick whoever's number one gets to pick, has the first pick, and it goes down to 10 and it snakes back up to one. So basically the leading vote getter will get the top pick of the draft, let and then the last in the last pick.
And make it a, and
And
then make it a
then
tournament.
yeah, then you could just make it a round robin tournament, and you could do east west, and then whoever comes out of the west plays the winner of the east. That's probably too many games, maybe. You
Maybe, but you
probably
can do like a
you
e like first to make it like I don't want to say first to
we
eight,
can
like
do
first to
you can do
10.
ele you can do 11 plus one, like old school rules, like you got to win by two, or 11 win by two,
And make it
and
half
then
court. You don't even got to make it half court. Make it
yeah.
like you're doing it in the Y or something or in the gym. Just make it half court, 3-on-3, and first to the 11+1, win by two. And that I think that would be because especially for those players, right? They all playing basketball growing up. That would I would hope evoke some like inner emotion of like, yeah, I used to do this all the time. I never lost. Like we used to run the court. Even make it a run the court thing. You could whoever wins stays on. Like you could make it that. So I think that would be awesome to watch because I don't think it would elicit a little bit of pride out of them again, being like, yeah, we're gonna run the court the whole time. And then freaking LeBron and KD step all like, no, you're not. And then Giannis steps on like, it's my court now. Like that would be fun. I would love to watch something like that. Where's the phone? Adam Silver. I need to call you right
Yeah,
now.
I'm about to. I'm dead ass. I'm gonna email him. I'm gonna be like, hey, Whom is concerned? This is how you fix it right now. I think everyone would love that. All right, enough about the game. I want to get your thoughts. So I'm gonna go the best of the worst, the best and the worst part. So it's so sad how far the dunk contest has fallen. And this is no disrespect to Mac McClung. His dunks were great. Shoot Jaylen Brown into the moon and never invite him. And
Bro,
then
oh,
all of
that
the
was bad. That dunk over Kai Cenat, who's like 5'8" sitting down. And like he's
Yeah,
5'8".
and
He said, like,
then
that was bad.
his broke impression of D Brown not even getting close to closing his eyes was bad. Somehow that got a better score than Jakob Toppin's dunk. And Jakob Toppin probably had probably one or two of the best dunks. And that's not saying, between his legs and then kind of doing like a 180 is sick. And that got a 46. I'm like,
Well,
what are
I was
y'all
mad
looking at?
when Mac took the when the dude was holding the ball above his head, when he took it, let it go and double clutched it, that didn't get a 50. I've never seen that before. He jumps over a dude, picks the ball, lets it go, grabs it again from between his legs and dunks it. And they gave that like a 47.
You know how hard that is to let go of a ball in
In
midair
midair.
while your body, while your momentum's taking you one way, drop it. He didn't like throw it up and catch it or anything. He let go of it fully. Like there was air between his hands and the ball. And like I know that you may couldn't seen it live, but like watch it. They have monitors right there. Like the
They
fact
do.
that like Dominique and then Dominique was a hard critic. That's understandable. But some of these dudes, like the dudes in the middle, like Fred Jones, like dude was giving out like 45s and stuff for dunks. Like,
The crowd
and
booed him,
then
man. It was funny.
but then the Jaylen Brown does a simple power dunk like over somebody and gets a 47 and a half. It was inconsistent, it was boring, it was uninnovative. McClain, I mean, granted, Matt McClain deserved to win because he was the best out there. I
Yeah,
would
he
have rather
was.
seen Jakob Toppin in a final than Jaylen Brown. Like it wasn't even close. Like the fact that the first two dunks were close in the finals was absurd to me. And then I mean he got a dessert. That was a 50 jumping over Shaq and doing like a quick pump dunk. Like that was awesome. But it was too little too late. It was like it, and it's too drawn out the whole weekend. By the time you get to it, it's like 2.5, 3 hours deep. I don't know. It was just they got to fix it, and I don't know how they're going to.
Well, it's first of all, and then this topic came up on, sports radio, obviously, the sports talk about how it's lacking the star power too, right? If LeBron or whoever else, the big stars don't do the dunk contest. And it goes back to what we were just talking about as competing, that it used to be a rite of passage winning the dunk contest. Like Jordan had to do it, Kobe did it. Like, I mean, Vince Carter and T-Mac competed in it. To be a superstar, you had to win the dunk contest, right? You had to like, or at least compete and show that you could do that. And then I think I'm gonna go and say it, LeBron leading the charge was like, I'm never gonna do it. I don't feel like I need that to be a superstar. And if at the time the best player on the planet says he's not gonna do it because he doesn't feel like he needs to, I feel like a lot of people followed suit in that regard. So I say all that to say I'm blaming LeBron James for the dunk contest not being as popular with superstars as it should be. Am I fair in this? I think it's a fair thing to say. Cause like, where's the star power at? No shot at Mac McClung, but he's a G League player and he's two-time dunk contest champion. Like I think is causing an issue too of people not wanting to watch it and maybe not being as interested.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree. I mean, I don't know. It was just sad because it, I think it really I blame D Wade.
You
The
could, yeah.
moment that he robbed Aaron Gordon
Oh,
of
yeah.
the championship, I think people decided like, why would I do this? Like that was probably the last great dunk competition between him and Zach LaVine.
Yes.
That was insane. And there were innovative dunks and like yeah like we've probably seen most of that's the thing is like I think it needs to take a couple years off or
Probably.
they got to get like Anthony Edwards and Ja and
Dude, Ja,
You
like,
know,
why isn't Ja?
Zion.
Yeah, oh, he's hurt this year, of
Yeah.
course, but
Well, he's hurt, but yeah.
like, come on, man. Like, there's so many talented dunkers out there.
Yeah.
Like, Ja be doing dunk contest winning dunks in game. Like, I couldn't
Yeah.
imagine him in the contest. Just he should do it just to say he can do it. And prime LeBron could have did it and easily won it. Yeah, he's a power dunker, but that dude still can jump out the gym. So I don't understand why people don't compete. And I think you're right about maybe giving it a couple years off. Because to be fair, like, human beings can only jump so high. Like the Blake Griffins and Aaron Gordons and, you know, even Mac McClung, there are very few people who can bounce like that. So you're not gonna see some earth-shattering dunk every single year. I think, and that's where I think a lot of the other stuff of gimmicks and everything comes in. Like Jaylen Brown probably got a high score because he had a famous Twitch streamer who was filming it live and he jumped over him, and that's the coolest thing ever because this guy's a celebrity. Like, I mean, after, you know, Blake Griffin with the Kia, you ain't gonna have any gimmicks that are better than that, you
Yeah.
know? So that I don't understand. And that gimmick, I mean, he got booed for that dunk. And that's because the crowd was like, what the hell? That dunk wasn't good. Like, you can't just bring someone out and have them record and expect the dunk to just be good because you
Yeah,
did
especially to be
that.
like, oh my God.
Yeah,
And
it's a
then
dunk contest.
he did say that LED court was a little bit slippery and he couldn't do what he wanted to do. I don't know if that's true because none of the other dunkers came out and said that. But the LED court was cool, but like I wouldn't sacrifice the dunk contest for court. Like, it
Right.
needs to be a normal NBA court, or if they want those, like, you know, extra bounce courts so they can, you know, land softer or whatever, that's fine too. And then the three point contest, I always like it. It's cool. I don't know if you saw it. There was like a four-way tie for the last two spots. And
Yes.
for the final. So that was cool. And then Dame ended up winning with 26, which brings us to probably the coolest part of the weekend, I think. And also, Kenny Smith is a moron. We'll get to him in a second. But Sabrina versus Curry, 3-point contest, both shot from the NBA three. And let's make one thing clear. A shooter can shoot, and Sabrina said it herself, and that girl can shoot. Like, once Caitlin Clark gets to the WNBA, I would love nothing more than on NBA weekend is you, if Seth is still, you know, able and willing, him and Dame or whoever the best 3-point shooter is at the time versus both of them, or put them, you know, put. You know, Caitlin and Dame on one team instead of like something cool integrated. Cause those two women, you know, Caitlin aside now, Sabrina can shoot and she proved it.
The
Because
lights out.
let me tell you, if she was in the finals of the men's 3-point contest, she would have been tied. They would have went to a tiebreaker round against Dame.
She would have tied
And
Dame Lillard in the final round of the three-point contest.
all bets are off. She holds the record in a 3-point contest. I think she scored like 36 points one time. And the fact that as soon as it was over, and we're acting like Curry won by like 15. He won by three.
He was down in the final rack. He was losing.
He had to catch fire in his money rack to beat her. And that says something. She can shoot, and she shot from the NBA 3-point line. Granted, with fairly with WNBA balls, because I mean she's not used to shooting
Hand
with an
size.
NBA ball, which no one's discrediting her at all. I think it was phenomenal that she did it. They did it for charity. They won a belt, which the NBA talk to the WWE, bro. It's like $300 for a fucking replica belt. Give them a real belt next year. Like TNT, whatever that fake ass belt was, that was whack, man. But I hope they do it again next year. I hope it's, you know, I hope we kind of get these kind of competitions again. Or, you know, Kelsey Plum's a great shooter too. Like, you know, she's not quite on the level of Sabrina and Caitlin, you know, but she can shoot it. Like, let's have a little competition for charity. Let's have fun.
Yeah, and this is great for the WNBA because it exposes people who don't normally watch WNBA just because for whatever reason, and they're like, "Oh, snap, this girl almost beat Steph Curry. Who is this? What team does she play on?" And you spark that interest. And so I think this should be a recurring thing. It's awesome.
And you know, I'm gonna watch the Liberty now. Obviously, I watched them something, but I'm gonna like Sabrina won a fan over. Like, I actively were like, I'm look like I want to buy one of her shoes because I think what she does and what she's doing for this, you know, and not even empowerment. She's just good. Like, there's no male female. But then we get to Kenny Smith and the fact that he said this shit in front of Reggie Miller. When and then I don't know if you caught Reggie kind of telling him off and like, bro, you can't be saying that to Reggie Miller when his sister's arguably probably one of the greatest basketball athletes that we've ever seen. Like she, Cheryl Miller, and her imagine Cheryl Miller now, it wouldn't even be fair in the WNBA. Like it would, she would be up with these boys on something like these pickup games. Like she was one of a kind talent, you know, and to say that, oh, she would have wanted to shoot from the women's three. Sabrina is the one who said, I want to shoot from the NBA three. She lost by 3 points, Kenny. It's not like she lost by 10, you know, or she clanked it and only scored 18 points. She was 3 points and tied Dame. Like, and then the whole, there's a reason why there's a men's tee box and women's tee box. Bro, have you seen some of these women golfers now? Lexi Thomas can crush it off the box. She regularly hits almost 300. Like, there's a men on the fucking tour that don't do that. Like, I get it. Like, WNBA, there's a lot of it, not great product. I'll be the first to admit that. There's a lot of teams.
There's a lot of
There's
rough watches out
a
there
lot of
for the
rough watches.
WNBA.
Same thing with women's college basketball. But there's a lot of greatness, just like there's a lot of bad men's basketball out there.
Yeah, I mean, the
Hell, there's a
Celtics have
lot of
beat two
bad
teams by
NBA.
50. Yeah, the Celtics have beat two teams by 50 points this year. That's bad
Y'all,
basketball.
we got what, three teams that don't have 10 wins yet at the All-Star break, which, mind you, the All-Star break in the WNBA ain't the halfway point anymore. There's only like 25 games left, or maybe 30 out of 82. You played almost 50 games and you got three teams that don't have 10 wins. And he's over here acting like he had a bad weekend overall. He sucked in the dunk contest commentary, which to a point I turned it over. And I think it was Draymond and
Oh, Chuck.
Candace Parker and
Okay, it's
Chuck,
Park. Yeah.
who were great on like the alt broadcast. Even though even my wife was like, why does Draymond get to do this shit when he's such a cluck? And I was like, the thing is if you listen to Draymond basketball wise and talking, he's actually really good. Like he, I
He
watch,
just got a little bit of a temper problem.
I listened to much of the altcast because it was like, was it Taylor Rooks, Draymond and Chuck, which is so much better than listening to Reggie
Reggie,
and
Kenny, and I don't know who else was there.
Kenny just had a bad weekend. Well, he's an absolute loser for saying this because he, and I'm surprised he didn't get condemned more by like Shaq. And maybe they did an off air by Shaq and Barkley about this because I was like, there's no reason to say that. That was like if the proof was in the pudding that she belongs shooting in the NBA through.
Absolutely. And here, and the thing about Kenny too, the worst part about it was, because when he initially said it, I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt and be like, oh, he means like if she was shooting from a place where she was more comfortable, then she would have beaten Steph. Not saying she can't shoot the NBA three, but if you've been doing something for 20 plus years of your life from a certain distance, you're gonna be better at it, I would say. I would assume than you would at a larger distance. If I practice shooting half court shots for 3 months and never shot a corner three, I'm probably going to be really good at those half court shots and not as good at the corner three. So I thought that's where he was coming from. But then when he doubled down talking about how like there's a reason that we play a different line and there's a reason that there's a men's tee box and a women's tee box, I was like, damn, you just take the shovel and just bury yourself. Like, that was terrible. And he didn't
Yeah, that was
catch
wild.
any whatchamacallit, any hint of when Reggie was like, chill out, bro. That you don't know how that came across. And he was just like, nah, I know what I'm talking about. That's what I mean. Like, they're different sports, different lengths is different things. And I'm like, oh man, dude, that's just not it. Like you say that, and it's just like, don't do that. And Reggie kind of tries to correct you, and you double down. Like you could have spun this so, I mean, you could have spun it so many different ways, even if you knew you messed up with this. I'm just doing this from a broadcaster like perspective on the air. Like, obviously, me and Teddy do this show. If you're live in that situation, and that thought comes up, and you say that, it doesn't come off very well. And your co-host literally like, bro, why would you say that? You could be you don't double down on the sexism talk, man. You don't do that. That's a terrible thing to say, to be like, maybe she would have won if there's the women's 3-point line. Whatever. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the fact she almost beat Steph Curry in a 3-point shootout. Like that's all that needs to be said. And be congratulating them both for a great competition, because one of my favorite, I was like, oh, she gonna win. And Steph, like at the very end, pulled it out. I think it's a bad look for Kenny, especially doubling down on it. I there's so many other ways to that's I don't even know what to say about it, because when he said it, I was like, wait, is he trying to say that it's a comfort level thing? Oh no, he's actually saying that it's she would be it'd be easier for her if she could just do it from the women's three line. And that was when I was like, nah, bro, that's not it. I know Joel Embiid tweeted out that Kenny Smith had a little too much to drink, is what Joel Embiid tweeted out during that segment. And then a couple other celebrities, I think, said something. But it wasn't a good look at all for Kenny. It just didn't need to be said. I was really hoping it didn't go that far with him doubling down. If he at least said something like, maybe it's a comfort level, like from a 3-point line, she could beat Steph there, where she's more comfortable, or she could beat him in the NBA line. Either way, she's a great shooter. Like, there were so many ways that you could have been like, no, that's not what I meant, but it clearly is what he meant, and he got flack for it, as he should have. So Kenny, don't do that, man. I know that was a part that was the worst broadcast wise for me, and that was one of the few parts, if anything, I caught live, and I was like, ooh. And Reggie was actually mad, dude. Like, Reggie was actually getting mad next to Kenny while he was trying to correct him
Oh,
in this.
he was pissed.
Yeah. And Kenny wasn't trying to be corrected, and it was a kind of an awkward moment for TV, for sure. For sure. Was that your favorite part of the weekend? Was it 3-point contest, you said?
Well, it was 3 point slash Sabrina and
Yeah.
Steph. That was by far, that was when I like perked up the most. And then the celebrity game was good, but outside of that, it was okay. I mean, I probably should have just watched Mission Impossible last night. I haven't seen the new one. I was about to, and then where I was like, oh, the All-Star game's on, so oh, let's watch that. But speaking of a little bit better and more intensive basketball, college basketball is starting to wind down. I think we got like 3 weeks the regular season's left. Man, March Madness doesn't start until like March 17th. That feels late, but I could be wrong. It
I
feels like
think,
it's a week later than usual.
yeah, I think you're right. I'm not sure why they moved it back, but I want seven. Is it 16th? No, I think it's the 17th. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yes. Well, you got the first four game or the playing games on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday or whatever, and then the starter tournament is Thursday. I personally, that Thursday through Friday, like I mentioned, or Thursday through Sunday, like I mentioned, that's my favorite sports
You're
weekend
gonna be nowhere to be
part.
found. It's like I'm in front of a
Nope.
TV.
Nope. I'm already planning. I'm gonna work Saturday and Sunday the weekend before. I'm gonna work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you catch me on Monday. I'm working, or I'll work in the morning up until the games on Thursday, and then that's it. So, because I want to sit there and watch, I love it. I love putting it on. YouTube TV's got the quad box, and then
Yeah.
I'll have four other games on my laptop when all of them are going on at once. But it's coming down. But it's a yearly tradition starting around this time that everyone is praising the Purdue Boilermakers, and then they just lose to an unranked team, which we talked about last week. Even more unranked teams lost this past week, Kansas got blown out by Tech at Lubbock by like 30. There was a couple more over the weekend. Auburn, I mean, they played a ranked team. They played Tennessee. They got beat down pretty good. But Purdue loses handedly to a team with an interim coach in the first game. Is this troubling for Purdue? What do you think about this?
I mean, it is like I think you mentioned it every time about this year. Everyone's first brackets have just started to come out, right? We're getting closer, and all the people, Joe Lunardi and Jay Billis, all the people are like, all right, I'm filling out my tournament field. Purdue is gonna go a long way. And as soon as that happens, the first weekend that those brackets have been out, Purdue loses. I mean, it's the classic trap game. I mean, Ohio State lost 8 of their last 9 games, and the coach gets fired. New guy comes in, fires him up, and Purdue comes in sleepwalking, thinking it's just Ohio State. It's on the road, but whatever. Not ready to match the intensity. Purdue ends up having 22 turnovers, and they lose the game. What's his name? I always forget his name. The star player dude, tall guy. I don't even
Zach
fuck.
Edey.
Zach Edey. Yeah, he did his thing. Yeah, I think he had 22 points or something, 24 points. But too many turnovers by the guards. I think that's going to end up being the downfall. I know number 3, I forget his name, but he's a great jump shooter, mid-range and stuff. When he gets pressure in his face, I think he can be locked down. I just don't see this Purdue team being able to just power through people like it feels like they are now once it gets to tournament time. Just the more I watch them play, now that I'm getting a chance to spend more time watching college basketball, now that football is out, I'm just not impressed with this team. Fundamentals are there. They've got really good players, but I don't see that it factor to be like, oh, if somebody's to take over a game, it can happen. If things aren't going 100% right, they can still pull it out. I see that out of Kansas. I definitely see that out of UConn because even when their bench comes in for UConn, they're almost just as good. It's crazy. Everyone on that team is good. But when it comes to Purdue, I don't see it. So my impression after seeing them lose to Ohio State here in what was a hostile environment, I think Ohio State actually stormed the court too. The fans would, I don't blame them because they beat the number one team or whatever, or number two team. I don't see it. When I make my bracket, they're not going to be going very far. I got to see where they end up, but I'm just 100% not impressed with this team at all. What do you think? I'm trying to
Nah,
give them a chance,
they
but
losing
I
the
can't.
second weekend, bro. They're
Second week.
sorry. They always do this. Everyone rides Zach Edey. That's the reason why Zach Edey is a 5th-year senior, is because he's not very good. He's just tall and lanky, and basically there's no one his size in college basketball. All you gotta do with every time they lose is you dive right into him because he's not athletic. Because if he was athletic, if he was good, he would be in the NBA right now starting. Fact matter is he's a second round pick, maybe undraftable. He's a great college player. That doesn't translate to anything because when you have these other guys who are actually pro, and if they're coming back or if they're second years, or even if they're phenomenal freshmen, like if they ran into Kentucky game two, they would lose by 20. Kentucky's guards would just destroy them.
That's the guard play.
Kansas, they got someone who can match up with them. They beat them by 20. UConn beat them by 40. UConn would run. The other thing is they're number two, but if you look at the Big Ten, conference sucks this year.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
Ohio State losing record, Michigan losing record, second best team, Illinois just lost. Wisconsin is the most inconsistent team in the nation. They got up to six. Then they drop four out of six. They're out of top 25. They lose again. They're propped up by name and prestige of conference because you're usually seeing, oh, 6-17. Fucking Big Ten probably gonna get two, three teams, maybe
three
four.
at the most. I would say three,
The
yeah. Yeah.
Mountain West, one of the best conferences in the league. They're probably going to get like six teams in a tournament. They're a better conference overall with Florida Atlantic and, Boise State and all of them, in that conference, right?
San Diego State.
San Diego State, you know, they went to the national title last year game, and they're rounding the form. They're projected to be a four seed. Like, they're kind of propped up on this pedestal for some reason. I mean, 2 years ago they lost as a one seed to 16.
Yeah,
Like,
that you can't have that hanging over your head.
and
That's tough.
last year they lost in the second round. At what point are we like, Purdue's just Purdue? They're a good regular season team because they don't play anybody out of conference, and their conference stinks. So they're going to be one of the worst one seeds in recent memory, and probably since they lost to a 16 seed 2 years ago. They're just, I've never bought the hype. Past Robbie when they had was it Robbie Hummel? That boy that could shoot the lights out. And I think they got to like Elite Eight or whatever. I just don't think they're a very good team. I think they're gonna run into, and I think this year of all years, besides UConn, there's probably 15 to 20 teams that can win the national title.
So wide
Purdue ain't
open.
one of them.
Yeah,
Purdue's a
it's
one seed that I have no confidence. I can make 4,000 brackets, say, and I ain't picking Purdue to get out of the second weekend.
Yeah,
At most, to
that's
get to a
fair.
Sweet 16. I just don't think they're a good team. They're like, you can say what you want. I've had bad takes, obviously. Shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Super Bowl
But
champs.
I feel strong about this. They're not a good team, and they're right now they're the overall number two seed, which they're the second one seed, and the crazy thing is they're gonna get a one seed because the gap between the one seeds and the two seeds are so wide.
Yes.
But I think Houston, and then who was the last one seed? Damn it, who was the last one seed?
From last year?
Was it no this year that they just projected? Was it Baylor? No, I don't know. I can't remember who it is, but I know that UConn's overall won by a high margin, and then it was Purdue, UConn, H-Town, and then I'll look it up in a second. But they should be the last one seed and then be projected to play the best two seed, which is Kansas right now, which I don't think Kansas can make up. Because I think they've lost too many games to actually bad teams. They have a lot of bad to mediocre losses. They play well against the good teams, but then they turn around and lose. You know, Tech's ranked, but whatever.
Yeah,
I
and
mean, they
like you
go in and
said,
lose by 20.
they're up and down. Like you said, they're up and down. So it's kind of you just hope that for Kansas, if they're hot at the right time, no matter what seed they end up being, they can make that run. It's just a matter of can they string together a group of 4 to 5 wins and win it all. So, and
Right.
I think Arizona, I think, is Arizona the last
Arizona,
team?
there we go.
Yeah, I think it's
Arizona,
Arizona.
Arizona's been playing well. Like, Arizona's a way, but if you put Arizona and Purdue on a neutral court, I guarantee you that spread's like 6.5 Arizona. And if
Oh,
it's
yeah.
any lower and it Purdue's favored by somehow, I'm betting everything. I'm taking your life savings, I'm taking everyone's life savings and putting it on Arizona. There ain't no way Purdue should be favored against any of the top eight seeds, in my opinion.
No, and like you, I mean, I take the same philosophy that I did in with the Kansas City Chiefs, man. Fool me once, you know, shame on me, or shame on you.
Yeah.
Fool me twice, shame on me. Because at
Yeah.
first, we'd be like, Purdue, oh, maybe they are good, da da da. Then lose to the 16 seed. It's like, okay, I was bought into the hype. I was bought in too much. Let's not do this again. And it's happening again over the past 3 years. It's the third year.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not. Until you show me that you could actually get further than the second weekend in a season, I'm not going to believe you. I believe the Chiefs because I saw Patrick Mahomes do it. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to say, I've seen it already. I've been burned once by you. You're going to win. And Purdue, you show me what you are. What do they say? Don't listen to what they say. Look at what they do. And what they
Yep.
do is every time they go into the tournament, they throw up an egg. So there are so many teams that could beat Purdue right now. I 100% agree with you. I think that they're just a fraud as usual.
Yeah.
And it's weird though. It's like they just need a team to talk about. Is there this weird hope around Purdue? Like they can finally get over the hump. I don't know where that comes from. Is there, I don't know. Do you have any idea? Is there some former
Because
player?
Big Ten is supposed to be prestigious basketball, and it's not. It's just like the
Yeah.
ACC is not very good this year either. Like
Yeah, AC's bad.
the two
UNC
big,
and Duke are not. They ain't doing too
yeah,
hot.
the two big, like I won't say big, but like, you know, the most like prestigious held up college basketball blue blood conferences, not very good. SEC's decent. I mean, better than decent. I mean,
Tennessee's pretty
Kentucky,
good.
Tennessee. Both of those teams, I think, can win the national title. Florida's playing well. I think they just got ranked. They have 19 wins. They've beaten Kentucky. They're a good team. Big Ten, top to bottom is one of the best conferences in the country. Speaking of them, Iowa State, Houston
Houston
in H
tonight.
Town tonight. What is it? Two versus like
Six.
12. Six. Iowa State's six now.
Yeah, there's six. Two
See,
versus,
look at that.
yeah.
Iowa State sounding them. They're what, third best team
Yeah.
with behind. I mean, they beat Kansas, so maybe they're second best team. Who knows, man? I mean, speaking of that, like, who you got in that game? Houston coming off a
Huge
huge,
win.
huge win
Yeah.
against Texas. A little bit disappointing season for Texas. Sliding back, I think they're like that nine losses. They'll still make the tournament because it's so deep. But
Yeah.
Houston, after that loss to Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse, they shut it down. I think they only had three losses. They're
Yeah.
for real, and they're a mainstay. It's awesome to see because they were great in the 80s with Olajuwon and all that, and then now come back around. They've been great the last couple of years. Can't get over the hump, but this could be their year. I mean, they're one of my favorites to win a national title.
Yeah, and they should be. I mean, like this team, I love watching Houston play because obviously they're known for that relentless defense, man. This team causes so many turnovers. And you want to talk about the opposite of NBA basketball? Watch the Houston Cougars play basketball, and you'll be like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be played with that kind of heart and competitiveness. Because if anything, yeah, Houston does. My only concern is that they do struggle to shoot it a little bit from the inside, and their free throw shooting is not that good. But I tell you what, it don't matter if you're stealing the ball and getting layups. If you're stealing the ball and getting layups, you can still win some big basketball games. And I think the Cougars beat Iowa State. I think they finally figured out what they need to do to win. I think it was a wake-up call when they lost to Kansas and be like, no, we're not just gonna you can't just easy street it into March Madness and into the tournament. I wouldn't say they weren't playing hard, but you realize that once you come against a good team that can really score the basketball, which Kansas can when they get hot. You realize that you're not indestructible. You're not unbeatable. You're not unbeatable. So, I think Houston's that wake up call is there, and they're going to beat Iowa State, especially at home. I wonder. I haven't checked the line yet, but I'm sure Houston's a favorite. And as long as they keep that relentless defense up, man, and Cryer keeps putting in points, I think we've got a shot. I think they have a shot to go all the way as well. Maybe win the national title. But for tonight's game, for sure. Oh, 8.5. So Houston's favored by 8.5 in this game. So they're really thinking the Cougars are about to put one on Iowa State.
That's crazy. That's a
Yeah.
lot. They both have excellent defenses. I don't know about that. I take Iowa State in that. They both have great defense.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot turnover laden game. I mean, if you like to see a lot of high scoring stuff, you may not want to watch this game. There's going to be the on-ball defense is going to be top tier for both of these teams, and a lot of hustle happening. So yeah, I've got Houston. Who you got?
I mean, I got Houston to win, but I'll take Iowa State in those points all day. This is gonna
That's
be a
like
great defensive. It's gonna be a struggle for points, I think. I think it's gonna be very low scoring, but it's not gonna be sloppy basketball, missed shots. It's just gonna be great defense, putting them into bad shots.
yeah.
I think Houston gets a better them at the end, but I don't know, man. That's a lot of points. I know it's
Yeah.
at home.
And no one's
The
hurt
Fertitta's,
either. No one's hurt.
Fertitta Center is going to be popping.
Yeah.
Both these teams could easily be Elite Eight Final Four teams, man. So this is a
Yes.
great matchup. It's probably one of the better matchups we've had recently. So I'll definitely be tuning in for this one for sure. I'll have that, and then I've obviously in this household we like the A&M ladies are taking on the Lady Tigers of
Ah.
LSU, and
All right.
we're Mulkey and we're LSU in this household as well. So I'll be flipping back and forth between those two games. But the
Nice.
man, even the women's gonna have competition this year. I mean, obviously South Carolina, they're on like a 46 game winning streak in the regular
Yeah.
season or something, or the conference But they've had some close calls. I know they pulled away at the end of the last two games, but they were trailing a half. And then yesterday they were trailing a little bit in the second half.
And
But
then they turned it
they're
on.
kind of, yeah, they're South Carolina right now is kind of Dawn Staley's turned that into like a powerhouse.
Yes.
And they're kind of like on a tier higher than everybody. But anyone can get caught. They got caught last year by I think they lost to either Virginia Tech or Caitlin Clark. I can't remember who they lost to.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, they got caught before the national title game. I think it was Virginia Tech or Iowa, because LSU was on the other side playing Virginia Tech or something like that. And then obviously LSU and Iowa, so even you know they're gonna have a couple good, you know they're not you know their typical women is you know their bracket the first couple weeks is like or the first weekend ish is like hardly any upsets
I
unless it's
was
like
going
a
to
five
say,
12.
yeah.
But you know last year the only one seed got to the Final Four. That was what the crazy thing is that Iowa was a two, LSU was a three, I think. Think Virginia Tech was maybe a two, and then no one's got to the national title. So there's a bit more parity in that,
Yeah.
and I think the quality of college basketball, women's college basketball, has gotten better. But
And
yeah, I'm
also,
excited. It's an H-Town game. I'm excited for them. I mean, I'm rooting. Unless they play Kansas in the national championship, I am rooting for Houston to win. I love Kelvin Sampson. I love that he's brought back, you know, meaning to, you know,
Cougar
it's
basketball, man.
not Phi Slamma Jamma, it's quite opposite of Phi Slamma Jamma, but it's really cool to see that they're, you know, they're relevant again on a consistent basis. So, you know, I'm definitely rooting for them. So it'll be a good game tonight. I can't wait to watch it.
If even if he keeps doing what he's doing, man, he may get a nickname for his team too on the defensive side of the ball. We'll have to think about that and come up with something. But he definitely deserves it for what he's done to this program and putting him back on the map. Shifting gears a little bit, got two other quick sport topics to talk about. Soccer, finally gonna talk about soccer, Premier League on the show. My Tottenham Hotspurs, we're in a little bit of a rut. I just want to put out there, man. Tottenham right now,
Not good.
fifth in the league. Lost this past weekend to Wolverhampton, the Wolves. Great logo, by the way, but still, I hate them right now because they beat us 2-1. Our defense looks like trash. If you watch that game against Wolves, Romero and them boys, like it is that back line is getting cooked, and our midfield is non-existent. I love the fact that Richarlison, our striker, has come on. It took him a while. We've had this guy. He was behind Kane, obviously, before Kane left this year. And anytime we put him in to kind of groom him for the fact that Kane was going to leave, he would always wet the bet. Couldn't score. Hustled, I'll give him that. He does run and tries to get into open space, but does not finish. And lo and behold, these last 7 or 8 games, he's been a good finisher. But right now it's our defense, man. And I know that we've changed our style from the way it's always been. Tottenham's always been a counter-attacking squad, absorb pressure, and then go back full speed. Now we're much more attacking. We're much more press high, get the ball, and go. It's worked for the first half of the season, and now we've got a little bit of a weaknesses that starting to show, and we're not looking as informed as we were earlier. We got as high as we were leading the division. I'm leading the league after like 7 or 8 games. And then I have to credit my girlfriend for this. She was like, but yeah, it's Tottenham. Just watch. And lo and behold, we've dropped down to fifth and we're looking real tight with those people in that 5 to 8 range. And we could fall farther if we don't pick this stuff up. We've got some tough games coming up, especially against Aston Villa. Aston Villa is right above us in the fourth spot. Crystal Palace should be a win. I'm kind of glossing over that because we should win that game. They're like 14th or 15th in the table. But we've got to win that Aston Villa game. I believe it's in 2 to 3 weeks that they're having a break right now. Got to win that game against Aston Villa. That is a huge game because to be in that top flight with Liverpool's and the Man Cities and those guys up there, we've got to start putting some of these games away and putting some goals on the board and stop this leaky defense, y'all. Come on, man. I don't know if we've got to change the shape. I don't know if we've got to get more out of the boys on the pitch, but it is not fun to watch anymore being a Tottenham Hotspur fan. So There, I said it, put it out there. I'm gonna put good energy though. I'm putting it out there what the issue is, and then maybe we can get some resolution as we get into these next three or four games and get some momentum back. But man, it's been a real up and down season so far as a Tottenham fan. But what's different? Like every season, right? We're doing that all the time. Every year we do this. We're great, and then we fall off. So please, not again, man. Just top four. I just want to be in Champions League again, one more time. So with that said, Liverpool, y'all seem to be doing all right. Top of the league right now, top of the morning. How y'all feeling up there?
Yeah, man, I really can't relate with you in that sense, man, because we are sitting at the top right now. I'm just playing. I'm just playing. In all seriousness, obviously with Jurgen Klopp being his last season, which is sad. Hopefully we come out on top. Right now we're technically 2 points clear of Arsenal and 4 points clear of Man City. Man City's got to play tomorrow, and they play Brentford, I believe, who is currently 15th. So I'm going to go ahead and chalk that up as a W, which means they are only 1 point realistically behind us. We do play Wednesday, and we do get a reprieve because we are not in Champions League. So we do get, I think we get like 5, 6 days off. Then we play, and then we get 8 days off before basically the match that more or less can kind of decide the Premier League. March 10th at home, Man City. We have got to win. There's no excuse. We cannot drop points. I will be disappointed with the draw. I won't be upset because we would gain a point. But man, in the same sense, Man City also gets a point too, so it kind of just evens out. We
Yeah, it's a
cannot
wash.
lose that game. We've only lost twice all year. We do have more draws than pretty much anyone in the top six. We've won, 17. We got the goal differential over everyone but Arsenal by a wide margin. Basically, Man City, Arsenal, and Liverpool have almost 20 up on Aston Villa, who has 19. So we got the goal difference. I'm not worried about that. It is a blessing that we weren't in the Champions League because the thing about Man City is, yeah, they play tomorrow and they finally catch up, but they got to play next. I think they play like Wednesday, and then they play Saturday, and then they have like three game. I think they have like three games in like 6 days or something like that leading up,
Yeah, it's gonna be
and then
tough.
it ends with that Liverpool game. So there's really, really no excuses. I know that we have some injuries, but we're not drastically, down players. And then kind of towards the end, our schedule lightens up after that Man City. We have a lot of the mid-tier, bottom-tier teams. I think we have to play Arsenal once, but besides that, we really don't play anyone meaningful. I think we may play y'all at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'll probably
Hopefully
win
y'all.
that. We all know how that one always
Yeah.
turns out.
Yeah.
Damn
So hopefully y'all just let us win. We're
it.
celebrating already.
it.
That game doesn't even matter. But we'll see. But it's been like this last couple years. I mean, Man City, besides what 2021, they haven't really ran away with it. Or
And
when
plus,
Leicester City won, that was like an anomaly, the COVID year. But like, it's usually been neck and neck with us. It's gonna come down to that March 10th game. And Liverpool has played down in the competition, which is what kind of worries me about the end. But I think knowing that this is Klopp's last campaign, last Premier League, obviously I think they want to go out as a champions, and we've won one with him.
The
But
farewell tour, the farewell tour. He's
yeah, the
just trying to get
farewell
it in.
tour would be awesome to go out as Premier League champions. We've won the Champions League with him. We've gotten to finals with him. So this would be
Must
great
be
to go out.
nice.
It is, it is nice. I mean,
Carolite.
they finished second so many times. They've had a record year when Man City broke the record for points, which was just disheartening. They would have won it in like 37 of the 38 leagues or something. Like it was insane that year. So yeah, it comes down to that game. I know you still gotta worry about Arsenal, but we beat them. They beat us once too, so it was kind of a, a draw.
Watch.
But like,
Yep.
we got to go in, and we beat Man City. And then for the rest of the table, like, yeah, I mean, y'all are three clear of Man U. Man U's not playing very well right now. They got 9 losses.
They're turning it
So
around though. I think they won last night or 2 nights ago. Like I want to say they're getting better, but those are the teams, right? Ask Villa, Tottenham, and Manchester United. Like those were all we're good and bad. We are literally the definition of middling teams, and at any given moment we could lose to like to Sheffield United, or we can come up and beat an Arsenal, right? Like it they're so inconsistent. And it's crazy. And the fact that I think it's definitely a benefit for you with, like you mentioned, Man City in the Champions League, the further they potentially could get into that, then they're not going to be focused on as much the Premier League, right? Having that singular focus is such an advantage at this point. So you don't get snuck up on by the potential bad teams in the Premier League. But for us, when it comes to Tottenham, man, who knows? I mean, every
That
time
Villa game's
it's
huge, man. That's gonna decide. I think that could decide who's fourth. I mean, y'all are what, 4 2 points
Yeah, we're
clear of
two
each
points.
other.
Yeah, 2 points. Same amount of games. We're 2 points back. So they've just had basically, I think it's what, two draws more than we have, or a draw and a loss. I can't do the math right now, but we're right neck and neck. And looking kind of at the rest of our schedule, I mean, we've still got Man City and Arsenal. Like, of course, we've got Villa in 2 weeks, and we've got that Liverpool game later. So we still play the top three teams again. And we gotta hope pretty much in those games we do better than whatever Aston Villa or Man U is gonna do against y'all. So all I ask, Teddy, as you a Liverpool fan, y'all could beat the brakes off anyone else between 4 through 7, but come on, man. Let's get that one win. Y'all won't need it. Y'all have the title clinched. It'll be fine. And
If
just
we
let
have
us
the
get
title
fourth.
clinch, y'all can have it. I sighed a minute ago because I'm looking at the Premier table while you were talking about Tottenham and the meddling. At least you're not Chelsea this year. 10th
Oh,
place,
that's tough.
35 points, 10 losses.
Yeah.
Not a very good football club.
No, not a very Chelsea FC is not a is not
Who's in
doing well at all.
regulation right now? Oh,
Everton, Burnley, and Sheffield.
Everton's there because of their. Well, they're still not a very good team. I know they have 8 wins, but they lost. Didn't they get docked 10 points?
Yes. Or some shenanigans.
So they
So,
should be 13, but they'll find, they'll make it out. Luton Town's 14 losses,
yeah,
like,
dude, I'm not gonna
and
lie,
with
they're
a
fun to
negative
watch.
13.
They're fun. Like, have you seen? They're actually on the prime time, I want to say, and they played Tottenham recently too. And they're fun to
Really?
watch. They're not. I mean, I would say they're good, but they got what's his name, Ross Barkley, who's a guy I think he used to be on Everton actually, who's pretty fun to watch. And I can't think of his name, another striker. But they're pretty fun to watch because they're like kind of an all or nothing kind of team. They give up so many goals. Like it's ridiculous. I mean, they're minus 13, but they give up quite a bit of goals. But they're fun. They go forward. So they're fun to watch. Just this, they lose. So
How do you give up 65 goals? That's crazy. I'm looking at Sheffield United too. Now I haven't seen them though. I typically I'll watch Liverpool most of their games, and then I'll catch, if I like watching Tottenham, and then I'll catch, if Man City's playing like Man U or Arsenal or somebody, I'll watch that just because Haaland is just a beast. But other than that, I really don't watch them. But yeah, if they come back on, I'll check them out because obviously they're probably headed toward relegation because Everton's probably going to overtake them and they'll flip.
I agree.
And Burnley and Sheffield United are done. I mean,
There's
they're
bad.
6 points behind Everton right now, so they would have to go on a run. They've only got 3 wins on the season, which I'm assuming one probably came against each other. But yeah, it should be an interesting race, man. I mean, Arsenal's up there, Man U, that last spot for the Champions League and the first spot for Europa should be fun between
Bro,
those, Man
I do not want to
U.
make Europa. I do not. That is such a waste of time. Yes, I said it. Yeah, it's a tournament. I get it. It's still a trophy, but why? Just
No,
if
I'm
top
glad Liverpool got knocked out of it early.
Yeah, like if you the Europa League, I'm just like Tottenham, just lose, man. Just lose in the round of 64 or whatever it is and just call it a day. Like it's not no one's going to, as a fan of Tottenham Hotspur, going to be like, look how amazing our season was because we won the Europa League. Like, nah, I'll take the FA Cup over that. At least the FA Cup's the end season, tournament amongst a ton of different teams. I'll take the FA Cup because that's still considered the oldest trophy and all that, but not the Europa League trophy, bro. It's like the consolation trophy to Champions League, and I'm not about that life, not at all.
Nope.
Dude, our final topic of the episode is now I can throw some UFC in here, man. We had a huge upset this past weekend. Alex Volkanovski, featherweight champion, was knocked out in the second round by Ilia Topuria. Topuria, I think I'm saying that right. There we go. In the second round. Man, so I got to see some of this fight towards the end. It was the second round, basically. I had to hop on and make sure I had my stream going. And man, it was pretty even starting the way through that second round. And I think Volkanovski was very composed. Like it didn't seem anything crazy. And then Topuria just exploded on him. Like he just started, I think it was like four straight punches and caught him once on the chin, and it was a wrap. But he was undefeated. Topuria was undefeated, so I think everyone gave him a legitimate shot and th thought he could beat him. But it was kind of just the way it happened. I didn't think Alex would be getting knocked out in that way. But to be fair, that's pretty much how Topuria ends most of his fights. He's got heavy hands, fast hands, a great striker. So was Alex, but I think the consensus was if it went longer, Alex had a better chance of winning. But Topuria made sure that that didn't happen. Did you see any of this fight?
Yeah, I actually watched most of the card.
Nice, nice.
A little bit. I was paying attention to that and All-Star Weekend kind of at the same time. The main card didn't start till 9 because I think it was in like Anaheim, I think. So it was super late
Yep.
by the time the main event came on. But no, he was only, I think he was plus 105 to win. So he wasn't like a big underdog, kind of like some of these main event fights have been. And Volkanovski, man, I mean, he's had a run between what, 2016 and 2024, with title defenses and, undefeated. So, he was, like you said, he was great. And I think he won round one. He went in round two, and then really all it took, I mean, he just caught him. That's just what it was. He countered, slept him, and then got him on the ground, and then was relentless, and no choice but the ref to break that up, because he was lights out there for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, he
Volkanovski was. So it was a
look.
phenomenal, two round. Everyone's like, oh, it didn't go, but it was a great knockout. It was a great first round. I think homeboy called out McGregor right at the end of the fight,
Yeah, he called out McGregor too. He's looking for a payday,
which,
man. Let's be real. He wants a big fight so he can get some money.
I don't know. I don't know if McGregor, because what's featherweight's weight?
Yeah, he said he'll go to any weight class. I think I guess that's Topuria's meaning. He'll go up in weight. That's what I'm assuming, I think, because
Then does he just lose a featherweight belt? Or I guess he doesn't lose it until he doesn't. Well, I guess it
it
wouldn't be
wouldn't be
for
a
the
title fight.
title.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a title fight.
That's boring. I don't want to see that. McGregor's old, dude. Like,
I know, right? That's how
he
I
did
know it's
not
a
look good in
payday.
his last. Yeah, he didn't look good in his last fight.
It'll draw numbers. That's
So,
the only reason he wants to do it, because if it's McGregor's fighting, people are gonna watch. And I think
yeah, that's
that's
true. I mean, I'll watch, but like, I mean, I'm not. I'm glad it wouldn't be for a title.
It wouldn't be
But
for a title. And the guy that people keep asking him is next, this Movsar Evlov, who's
yeah.
undefeated in the featherweight division. But the problem is, and if you listen to the interview when they interview Topuria about fighting him, they say Topuria says, "I would, but that'd be a boring fight. The guy has no knockouts. The guy has no submissions and no knockouts in 15 fights." And I was like, "There ain't no way." And sure enough, if you go to UFC.com, look at this dude record, all by decision. Half of them are by split decision. The other half are by unanimous. But I'm like, bro,
So
kind of
what's his
fight?
specialty then?
I
Is he
don't
ground
know.
and pound
Staying alive? I
or
gotta
grappling?
watch.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, he's very much a, he's just a technically, he's extremely technically sound and a great defense. So he's hard himself to knock out. It's just, it's very hard to get him in a bad position where he is in trouble in that situation. And so I think Topuria is saying like that'd be a boring fight because all he would do is turtle. And as I'm trying to swing and hit him, and he basically saying he doesn't want to fight the guy and that the guy doesn't deserve a title shot. But just based off numbers wise, he's the only one, Evlov is the only one in the top five who hasn't gotten a title shot yet, and he's also undefeated. But there's consensus the fight may be boring because it'd be one guy swinging and the other guy not.
So basically, he's like a worse version of Adesanya, then, I
Yes.
guess.
Yeah, at least Adesanya, like he
Yeah,
did some entertaining kind of stuff explode, but no, this guy is not explosive from what
I
I've
have no
seen.
interest in seeing that fight. I
Yeah,
mean, if you
exactly.
submitted like 7 of the 15, I'd be all right. At least if he gets them down on the ground, it could be over. But all
Nope.
decisions
All
and
decisions.
half of them are split decisions. That means basically like the judge one day could have gave you an L. I don't know
Yeah.
about that. He's got to go out. He's got to get one more, even if his decision needs to be unanimous,
Yeah.
before he gets a title fight, I think, because he's not going to fight any, what was this, 298? So he's not going to fight anytime soon for the title
Right.
anyway. So like, get him on a 299. Get him on 300. 300's shaping up to be awful.
Really, you think so?
I don't
'Cause
know. The main what they announced the main event, and I was just like, ugh.
yeah, I want to say well, the fight I'm looking forward to is the BMF belt, the badass motherfucker belt is on the line, and I want to say it's Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway.
All right,
And
I mean, that'd be cool.
that'll be it's just going to be a it's not obviously a real belt. It's like a wrestling belt. This is how we know that UFC and WWE are now under the same umbrella because it's basically this belt isn't real. It's still the BMF belt.
Yeah, it's a lightweight title belt. It's Pereira and Hill for 300.
Yeah, and
I
it's
guess there's
like,
two
oh
title
yeah.
fights too, the strawweight bout too for the
Yeah.
women.
Yep. So the one I'm most looking forward to is that the Gaethje and Holloway fight. The main event, Hill versus Pereira, will be dope just because I want to say Pereira already beat I forgot his name, his mentor before to get this belt. And now this is kind of his, first or near time title defense. So it's gonna be a good fight, basically. And Pereira's on the up and up. But I think that fight will be good. Gaethje and Holloway will be good.
Bo Nichols, he kind of fell off. Dude, he's a
Oh yeah.
huge favorite. He's favored by
Yeah.
14, 15.
Yeah,
Sterling, I
yeah.
guess Sterling's, is this Sterling's first fight since he lost?
Yes. First fight since he
Okay.
lost. He's about to start climbing back up the ranks. And I'm actually interested in the Holly Holm, Kayla Harrison. This Kayla Harrison chick is like this getting a lot of hype around her. And so this is supposed to be a good fight for her to show she belongs with the best against Holly
Dude,
Holm.
how is Holly Holm still fighting?
I don't
Feels
know.
like
She,
she's been there
she's like
forever.
40. I think she's 42.
That's crazy.
But I know that's why this should be a easy kind of cupcake win. Not saying Holly Holm can't throw down. I'll never say that. She's doing the best to ever do it. I'm never saying it like that. But they're basically saying, Kayla, if you can't beat Holly Holm at this age, like you don't. We can't hype you and push you through the woman's ranks to be a potential star. So I'm curious to see how that fight goes and make sure she can hold her own. But yeah, I can see what you mean by it's a little bit of a soft card. I mean, you don't have a Brock Lesnar coming out of nowhere, or a Jon Jones is hurt, so he can't do it. So some of your big name fighters are not
Yeah, and it,
available.
and then O'Malley's headlining 299,
99, yeah.
which is in
So,
like 3 weeks, I think, on March 9th.
oh yeah, so yeah, fairly soon.
I'll watch that one too. Sean O'Malley, Dustin Poirier's not the co-main event, but like basically,
Gotcha. Yeah,
and then some randos.
and then they were gonna say Poirier. I think Justin Gaethje and Poirier fought for the first BMF belt, and Gaethje won. So now it's Gaethje versus Holloway for badass motherfucker belt. And Wei Ling is always fun to watch too.
Yeah.
Strawweight, she's always fun to watch. She's extremely good, extremely good, insanely good grappler and striker. and strong as hell. So I'm gonna be entertained by that. So I won't say it's bad, but it ain't like it's not 300, like this is gonna be an all-timer kind of card,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
I mean, it's just the timing with, Jones being hurt. I heard a rumbling that Lesnar was trying to make a comeback, but like, I just feel like you're just throwing him on there for entertainment value.
Right. And what's her name? Ronda Rousey's never coming back, so I wouldn't think
Yeah, but
so.
her fall from grace was not, I mean, she was non-competitive in her last three fights, at least like Holly Holm and like even what, Misha Tate. I know Misha Tate still fights. They're always kind of competitive in their fights. I mean,
And even like Thug
Rousey
Rose
just
is
got
always
swept.
competitive.
So yeah, I mean, it'll probably shape up to be a good card. I mean, in the end, I mean, as long it don't matter. Like the early prelim fight could have an amazing knockout and be like, then we'll be talking about it. Oh, did you watch this
True.
one? He just freaking hit him with tiger uppercut and knocked him out. Like, so
Shiryuki.
it's always one of those weird things that like the card may not look good, because I think like there was like 296 or 95, like it was like, oh, this card stinks, and like every fight was like amazing, either submission or it was actually an entertaining 3-round decision, or someone just got knocked in the next week. So you're right, it could change in one of those cards where you look back on it and be like, yeah, it wasn't the biggest names, but dang, we got some fights.
And I'm hoping that, I mean, at this point, Dan has already proven he knows what he's doing quite well. So I would hope that he also picks styles against people that knows is going to be entertaining, right? Put strikers against strikers. And if you're going to have a grappler, versus another grappler, watch a lot of reversals, entertaining things. I think Dana's gotten and proven that he's pretty good at putting this together now. And
Yeah, for sure.
I think he'll hope. I'm hoping it'll be good. It may be one I have to sit down and actually watch the whole thing, prelims all the way through. I mean, man, we're at UFC 300.
It's
Golly,
crazy.
man. Dude, I remember when Ken Shamrock was in this thing. But
Yeah, UFC 3 and shit like that. Yeah,
What is
that
it,
was crazy.
Lyoto Machida?
Yeah.
Like, I remember those dudes, and now we're at 300.
Remember
Wow, man.
Shogun, all of them, dude.
Yes,
Back in the
yeah.
day. It's crazy.
Yeah, but Joe Rogan was like doing this on the side of Fear Factor, but he's come a long way since then. Speaking of which, we've come a long way since the start of this episode. Man, I love it, man. Talking about different stuff, having to work the brain a little bit, talk about different sports and apply different things. It's a great podcast, man. I think I should keep coming back. With that said, Teddy, anything you got to say for the people?
Nah, man, appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for listening to us. Have a good week. Some of y'all probably a short week because of President's Day. If you had to grind today, hey, keep getting that paper. That's all that matters. Appreciate y'all.
All right, well said. And I'm gonna ditto all that and say definitely y'all enjoy yourselves this weekend. Watch all the sports and things. And so keep having a good time and stay keeping it 100. With that said, we will see y'all next time.
Peace out.